right, so I have a question for the kids. When I was back in elementary school, and sorry adults if I talk over here most of the day, because, well, it's kids' day, it's family day. When I was back in school, I hated basketball. And the reason was because I was good at kickball, I was really good at dodgeball, I was like the second best in elementary school in dodgeball, and everybody knew that, but I could not play basketball for nothing. I could not get that stupid little ball in that little hoop. And something would happen at recess. We would play basketball at recess, and we would have to choose teams. Any of you ever have to choose teams? Some of the adults? Okay, some of the adults. None of you kids have ever had... Lucas, you've never had to choose a team? All right, okay, you did raise your hand. All right. So here's what would happen. We'd be on the playground playing, and two captains would get chosen, and then those two captains would start picking teams, and they would pick the best players to get on their teams. And finally, you would get to the last kids that really didn't get picked. They got assigned because nobody wanted them. And when it came to basketball, dodgeball, I was one of the first people always picked because I was good at dodgeball, but not basketball. And I would be the kid that didn't really get picked. I would be the kid that got assigned to a team. It's like, oh, we have to take Baker. Oh, great, you're on our team, you know? Because I was horrible at basketball. And you know, that would make me feel bad. Nobody likes to be rejected, left out, forgotten, looked over, picked over. It hurts. It hurts when it happens to us and we don't like it. Does that ever happen to any of you, that you've been left out before? Somebody didn't choose you, some adults did. How about you kids? Did you ever get left out? Now kids, you've got to participate because I'm going to be asking you some questions as we go along here, so you're going to have to jump in with me, okay? So I would hate being left out as a kid. Now, I'm talking to the big people over these couple weeks, and I'm going to move over here, Linda, so hopefully we'll stay in frame a little bit, although I'm out of the good lights. We're going to be talking about loving like Jesus. And what's interesting is Jesus, the way he loved is he always included everyone as much as he could. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Welcoming, being welcoming like Jesus. Now, I have some good news and I have some bad news for you this morning, Adventure Club kids. Do you want the good news or the bad news first? Good news? Or who wants bad news first? And just get it out of the way. Well, let's get the bad news out of the way, okay? I have hung around with a lot of you kids since you were born. I knew your moms and dads before you were born. So I've been around you a little while. And I have noticed from time to time that when you don't... Let me see. Watch this.
Was that cool? All right.
I have noticed that from time to time, when you don't get your way, you end up pitching a fit. You get mad, you kick, you throw yourself on the ground, you start yelling and screaming, and you just, the whole world's against you, okay? And that I don't think is loving. Oh, Eric does that? Or are you saying Lauren does that? Oh, Eric does that, okay. I don't think that is very loving. Now, that's the bad news, because I've seen some of you do it. In fact, I've seen a lot of you do that. You've done it to me, you've done it to the other Sunday school teachers, adults, you've done it to your parents. But now, let me give you some good news. You want me to give you some good news? Because that's the bad news. Because we all, even as adults, we tend to do that from time to time. Here's the good news. A couple weeks ago, we got to do something really cool, and let's see, several of you were out for that day. Does anybody remember what we did two Wednesday nights ago? What did we do? First time we got together in... like 3 months. What was it, Charlotte? We went fishing. And where did we go fishing? At Miss Debbie and Mr. Ray's house. Okay. And who caught all the fish? And who didn't catch a single fish? Yeah. But Vince and I didn't. I mean, we didn't get a thing. We got skunked. Okay. So before we did that activity, one of the things that I asked your parents to talk to you about is that when you go to play with other kids, just ask the other parents if it's okay. Because it's been really weird, this whole virus thing, and I know it's sort of over your thinking, and it might be difficult for you to comprehend all that's going on that your adults, you know, sort of know about. But I ask, because some parents are a little scared about the whole thing and afraid their kids are going to get it or contract it, and then there's other parents that don't care. And understanding that, the one thing I ask is that you as kids and you as parents, just ask the other parents, is it okay if I give a hug or if I play with your kids? And here is where I want to give you kudos. I want to pat you on the back. I want to say good job. For the most part, all of you kids, when you came to play, did ask the other parents. I've had a couple kids even ask me. It's sort of funny. And Caitlin's not here, but I'll squeal on her a little bit. She comes running up to me. She goes to give a hug. And this happened right out in the parking lot. She goes to give me a hug on my leg. And she looks up and says, "Can I give you a hug?" I'm like, "Yeah, go ahead." She gives me a hug. And then I hear Grandma like, "Don't be hugging!" And Caitlin turns around and says, "I asked first!" And I want to say, good job. Way to go, you kids that are doing that. Because here's the deal. You are learning to love like Jesus loved. You're caring about somebody else over yourself. Now, see, the bad news is, when we don't do that, when we pitch a fit because we don't get our way, we're caring all about ourselves. But when we do something as simple as asking, "Can I hug?" before you give a hug, that's really loving somebody else. That's loving like Jesus loved. So I want to tell you, because everything that we're learning about Jesus and learning to love like he loved is out of the Bible. So I want to look at a couple Bible stories this morning, and I want to dig into that a little bit to see how Jesus loved. And I want to tell you two Bible stories that just impresses me about Jesus' love. Here's the first one. The first Bible story is recorded in a couple of the gospel messages, a couple of the books of the Bible. And here's what happened. Everywhere Jesus would go, there would be large crowds that would follow him and want to get close to him. So everybody wanted to get close to Jesus. You know, he was like, you know, they were like groupies for Jesus. And they wanted to get close and touch him and reach out, wanted to smile at him and look at him. And everybody wanted to be close to Jesus. But Jesus had 12 guys. Anybody know what those 12 guys were called? We have a name for them. It starts with D. 12 disciples. 12 disciples. And so everywhere Jesus went, he had these 12 guys. Now, these guys, Jesus was teaching. He was helping them learn about God and learn about God's ways. And so he was discipling them. That's why they're called disciples. But they also did some other things. They helped Jesus. They helped him get across the lake. They helped him with his travels. They helped him, by the way, take care of finances. A couple of the disciples were treasurers, and so they kept the books. They watched the money, because Jesus' ministry took money too. And so they did things for Jesus. And one of the things the 12 disciples would do is they would act as bodyguards. Now, does anybody know what a bodyguard is? What's a bodyguard? Who are they? What do they do? Lucas, you know what a bodyguard is? You don't know what a bodyguard is? Okay, a bodyguard would protect you. Who's the you? Whoever? Who in our day might have a bodyguard? Does your dad have a bodyguard? Do I have a bodyguard? Not that important. Okay, yeah, who else? Stephanie said something. The president. President has bodyguards. Okay, they carry guns too. All right, movie stars carry bodyguards. Now, usually, bodyguards are they wimpy guys? Or are they big, tough guys? What do you think, Gabe? Bodyguard, a big, tough guy?
Yes. You know, big muscles.
All right.
Like Godzilla.
Not like Godzilla. That's right. So Jesus' disciples, and what's interesting, they were fishermen, so they were very physically fit. They were very tough, rough, built guys. And they would act as Jesus' bodyguards wherever he would go. And so sometimes when these crowds would be pushing in, Jesus' disciples would stand here like this, you know, and back the crowds off, you know, so Jesus could have room to breathe and to talk and whatnot, so everybody could see Jesus. Well, one day, Jesus healed, earlier in the day, he healed a boy and brought him healing. He did some teaching. And then that afternoon, large crowds, because of the healing and heard what Jesus was doing, large crowds started to follow and started to congregate because they wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to hear him. They wanted to be close to him. They wanted to bring their kids to him. And so the disciples put on their bodyguard look. And they started bodyguarding Jesus. And they wouldn't let certain people come to Jesus. And here's the people they wouldn't let come to Jesus. They wouldn't let the kids come to Jesus. So, you know, if you guys had kids,
the disciples were like, "Yeah, get go home. Just go home, Lucas. We don't want you around here. You know, Jesus doesn't have time for you. And definitely not you, Gabe. Not you, you know, not you. And parents, maybe. Okay, but not the kids."
And they started chasing away the kids. Now, how would that make you feel if you were a kid? I mean, Jesus, it's Jesus. He's supposed to be loving and wonderful and welcoming. And you've been hoping and wanting to see Jesus. And your mom got you up and got you downtown and got you wherever Jesus was and was going to help you see Jesus. And then once you got there, the disciples said, nope, sorry, turn around, go home, no room for you. You don't get to see Jesus. Would that make you feel good, Gabe? Graham, would that make you feel good?
No.
No, probably not. Abby, do you feel a little sad by that? Nah, you go home, Abby. We don't want your kind here. Now, this is interesting because the Gospels record this whole instance happening. And here's what it says. So I want to tell you, I want to read the little passage of Scripture here to you. Jesus heard what was going on. And the Bible says that he became indignant. Ooh, that's a big word. Lucas, you might like that. You might, you know, this week want to tell your mom, I feel indignant. What do you think indignant means? Anybody have an idea what indignant? Indignant? I can't even say it now. Indignant. Anybody?
Angry.
Disappointed. Angry. Your mom and dad get indignant every now and then with you because they don't like what you just did and they let you know it. They chew you out a little bit. Right, Ethan? They get after you. Does your mom ever get after you, Ethan? Or never? She's such a loving mommy. She's such a wonderful mommy. Now, mom and dads get indignant. And so Jesus got indignant, is what the Bible says. And he got mad, got angry with the disciples. And so he chews them out a little bit. And here's what he says. I'm going to read it to you because this is right out of the Scripture. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Ouch. What did Jesus do? He just gave the disciples a little bit of a spiritual spanking. Any of you kids ever get a spanking? Any of you kids ever think you should get a spanking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Lucas, for your honesty. All right. I must say I deserved every one that I probably got. I don't think I got any I didn't. All right? So Jesus gets after the disciples, and he says, how dare you? The kingdom of heaven belongs to little kids, and you're chasing them away? No. You guys go away. You let the kids come to me. And the picture in my mind is Jesus is sitting there. I don't know if he's sitting on a stool or if he has a log or what he's sitting on. But I got a feeling Jesus is sitting there and he says, no, you let those kids come to me. And then all the kids start coming up to Jesus and the parents bring the kids up. And Jesus starts blessing them, pulls them, you know, sort of like I don't want to classify Jesus as Santa Claus, but that's sort of the picture. Is he brings them and sets them on his lap. And how you doing, Lucas? And how you doing, Riley? You know, how you doing, Gabe? And he starts talking to the kids and puts his hands on them, gives them hugs and blesses them. And then I got a feeling it didn't stop there. I think Jesus probably did a little bit of ring around the Rosie or some Red Rover, send somebody over, you know. He played a little game with them. And the whole rest of the day's schedule went out the window when he started playing with the kids. He changed his whole schedule. Why? Because Jesus was welcoming. He wanted to bring people to himself. He was approachable, is another big word. So that's one Bible story that I want to tell you. I think that's so cool that Jesus welcomes the kids. But there's another Bible story, and this deals with an adult. There's a particular adult who wrote one of the books of the Bible, one of the gospel books. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record the story of Jesus Christ. And this is Matthew, and he starts telling about how he came to know Jesus. Now, you need to know a little bit about Matthew, and I talked a little bit about this last week. Matthew was a tax collector. Now, are tax collectors liked or not liked? What do you think? Thumbs up, kids. Thumbs down. Tax collectors liked or not liked?
Boo, boo, bad tax collectors. Boo, we don't like tax collectors.
Nobody liked the tax collectors. And this is sort of fascinating because Matthew was a tax collector in Capernaum, which was probably the town that Jesus worked in before he got into ministry. At least it becomes his ministry home base. And so Matthew, who's a tax collector, tells the story of how he came to know Jesus. Now, a tax collector was seen by the Jewish people as a traitor. Does anybody know what a traitor is? Aubrey, what do you think? What's a traitor, Aubrey? Do you have an idea? A bad guy. He's a bad guy. Let's set up a traitor situation, okay? Sort of. These guys did. All right. So let's say that we have a traitor. We have one clan of people and another clan of people over here. And a traitor would be somebody who sells out this, who sells out and starts playing for the other team. So, Aubrey, can I use you for a second? All right. And Graham, can I use you for a second? Okay, just stay right there. I'm going to tell you what to do, okay? So we have two clans. We have the Anton clan, and we have the Sharesco clan. Boo. Sorry, I'm going to make you the boo, bad clan, boo, okay? So in their day and age, you guys would be the Jews, and you guys would be the Romans, all right? And nobody liked the Romans, especially the Jews, because here's what Rome did. Rome came in, and they took over everybody. So you took over the Maynard family, and you took over the Lupton family, the Wasserman family, the Campbell family, the Malachis. You know, so the Romans just came in, and they took over everybody. And then they wanted to get stuff from other clans. So Aubrey, I want you to be a wonderful Roman. Go steal something from somebody else's table. I don't care where. Just go pick it and take it. Good job, Aubrey. Yep, way to be, Aubrey. Whatever you want. Okay. Take another thing. You're a Roman. You can take whatever you want. So find something else to take. By the way, we'll give it back at the end, but for now. Find something else to take, besides a baby. Don't take a baby. That wouldn't... Parents start offering up their babies. Here, take mine. Okay. And then go back to your town. Go back to Rome. Okay. Now, what would happen if you guys knew Aubrey was coming and you had something you really wanted to keep? What would you do, Lucas? Because you're doing it. You'd hide it. All right. Now, is there anything you guys want to hide at your table? Jews, Antons, something you want to keep? Okay. Now, here's the deal. Graham, do you know where that stuff is that they just hid? Do you know where it is? Do you know where Olive's stuff is? Do you know where Lucy's stuff is? You probably know. Okay, here's a traitor. Graham, I want you to go over to the Romans, and I want you to tell Aubrey where that stuff's hidden. Come on over. Come on over. Come on over. Tell Aubrey. Say, Aubrey, I know where... Is it okay, moms, dads, if they talk a little bit here? Okay, tell them where it is. Now go over there and get it from them. Point it out, Graham. Show them where it is. Don't let them hide it. Okay, go get it. Yep, Aubrey, there's another one. Here's another one. Okay, we'll let that go. All right. Thank you, Graham. Thank you, Aubrey. You can give this stuff back. Do you guys now understand what a traitor is? And that's Matthew. That's Matthew. He knew where all the hidden stuff was, and he helped the Romans find this stuff. So nobody liked Matthew. Now, let's go to Jesus and what's happening with Jesus. So Jesus comes into Capernaum, and this is where Matthew works, and it's also where Jesus is from. Now, there's a high likelihood that Jesus knew Matthew. And Aubrey's our Matthew. Sorry, Graham would be our Matthew because he's our traitor, okay? So Jesus would know Graham. He would know who Matthew was, probably because he had been to his tax booth over and over and over again paying his taxes. And nobody liked Matthew. His family didn't like him. He didn't have any friends besides other traitors and other bad people. He didn't have any good friends in town. And so here's Jesus coming into Capernaum, and he walks by Matthew's booth, and he says, "Hey, Matthew." "Hey, Graham." "Psst, Graham." "Hey, Graham, I want you to come follow me." And you know what Graham does? I mean, Matthew? Graham, Matthew, starts to follow Jesus. Drops his stuff, drops his tax collector stuff, and starts following Jesus wherever he goes. Thank you, Graham. Everybody give Graham applause. Everybody give Aubrey an applause. All right. So Matthew, this is the calling of Matthew, and Matthew becomes one of Jesus' disciples. And the scriptures go on, and it's sort of interesting what the Bible tells us. I'm going to read this to you again because I like going back to God's word, so I typed it out here. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and many sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. So here's all these bad people in town, and Jesus is the center of it, and they're all coming over to eat with Jesus and with Matthew. Matthew opened up his house. Hey, y'all, come over. And all these bad people came over, and they're all eating together. Now, what do you think the religious people thought of this? They didn't like it. Can we all go boo? Boo. They didn't like it. And here's what the Bible says. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And then on hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus was not afraid to be with people who weren't like him. He wasn't afraid to be with people that didn't like him and didn't like others. He didn't care about the name he was making, because everybody was pointing fingers saying, "Oh, that Jesus, he hangs out with bad people and with sinners and with nasty people." And Jesus apparently didn't care about that. He loved other people. And so this gives us a picture of Jesus' love. He loved other people, that he was approachable. He was welcoming. People could come and felt comfortable being next to Jesus, being with Jesus. Now, have you ever had a principal at school that you were scared of? Lucas, you've had a principal you're scared of? Yeah. So he has power, and he was mean. Okay. Miss Robin. Okay. Sorry, Miss Robin, if you're watching. Okay. Now, have any of you had a principal that you like? A principal that was cool? You don't go to school yet, but you're going to get there. You're going to find some principals. Okay. All right. I've had principals that were nice and principals that were mean. I've had both. We don't have any principals here, do we? Post principals, past principals, retired principals. Sorry. Don't want to offend you. All right. But here's the deal. There's some principals that I had. Oh, that's funny, because is this the principal and vice principal, or principal and vice principal? That's the principal. Okay. All right. Lucy, do you like your principal? Yes. That'd be the right answer. Okay. I've had principals that were nice. And you know what? The nice principals, they were out in the halls. They would play with us. They would come out at recess and not just watch like this. But they might throw the ball and play some games, and you go over and you could talk to them. They were approachable. But I've had some other principals that would stand here like this. Now, does this feel too approachable? Mm-mm. Does this feel pretty approachable? Yeah, and I've had both principals. Now, let me ask you another question. Have you had adults in our church that you feel comfortable around, and adults you don't feel comfortable around? Do you have some big people you feel real comfortable, because when they see you, their face lightens up, and they're like, "Oh, I'm so glad you just ran over my foot, but it's okay." And then there's other adults that you sort of, when they come down the hall, you do this, because you got yelled at for running down the hall, you know, so you sort of skirt around those adults at church. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many kids know what I'm talking about? How many adults know what I'm talking about? You know the difference? One is approachable and one is not. Some people are very friendly and welcoming and approachable, and some are not. If we are going to love like Jesus, we need to learn how to be approachable, to be welcoming. And I want to give you just three quick, simple things, and then we're done. We get to go home. If you want to go play on the ark, that's fine. By the way, parents, if your kids are getting too wiry and you need to slip out, you're welcome to do that and just go out and play. Let me give you three quick ideas that will help us all be approachable. The last one is my favorite, and I love it, but we're going to go to the first two first. The first one is actually something we need to not do. We need to learn to not be snobs. Do you know what a snob is? Leo, do you know what a snob is? What's a snob? Help the kids. Yeah, somebody walks around like this thinking they're better than everybody. You know, do you have Ethan, do you have anybody that acts that way to you? They think they're just better than everybody. You do? Okay. We all have people around us that think they're just better than everybody, and they're sort of snobs, and they want to have just their exclusive little thing. So the first thing I want to tell you is we need to learn to not be snobs. Not think we're better than everybody. And the second thing that goes right with not being a snob is we need to learn to be humble. That's a big word, humble. So not a snob, but humble. The opposite of snob is humble. And being humble is a person that understands how other people feel. So let's say that you have an exclusive club that you made at your house or in your neighborhood. And you set the rules to that club. You know, it's my club, and my little brother is not allowed. We don't allow little brothers in the club. We don't allow people that don't like pink in the club. We don't like people that have, you know, wear button-up over, you know, shorts, you know, or whatever. We don't like people who carry their lunch to school rather than ride the bus. That's sort of fun for you adults to think about that. So you set all these rules to exclude certain people from the club. Now, Antons, have you ever done that? Had a little club in your house and somebody wasn't allowed to be in the club? Thank you, Dad. I think every family does it, all right? Your kids are still too young a little bit to be doing that. Or does Caitlin ever do that? Like, this is my club and you're not allowed in here. Okay. We all tend to do that. And what is that? That's being a snob. I have a club and you're not in it. You're excluded. You get out. Okay. You know, there's another club that we sometimes call the church. Sorry, adults, but we do. You're allowed in and you're not. And if we want to learn to love like Jesus, we need to break down the snobbery and learn to be humble. And one great way to learn how to be humble is, how do you think that makes somebody else feel? When you kick them out, when you exclude them from your party, when you don't invite them, when they're not allowed over at your house, or we really don't want them around, what that does is it makes them feel bad. It kicks them out. It's painful for them. And being humble means that we think about that, that we put that on a little bit. We walk in their shoes. That's the way my mom said it. You need to walk in their shoes for a little while. How does it make them feel? That's being humble. Now, those are two big things that help us love like Jesus and be welcoming and be approachable. Now, let me give you my favorite. This is so cool. God thinks this is so important that he actually gave you this in your body. All right? So you all have in your body a smile tool. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your hand, all the kids, even adults, you can do this too. I want you to take your hand, and I want you to make the peace out symbol. Peace out, man. Peace out, okay? Everybody do it. Hold up. Hold up the peace symbol. Peace out. Peace out. All right? Everybody got it? All right, keep that out there. Now, this is so big. Kids, look over at the adults. They're not doing it. Come on, Diane, Fred. All right, there we go. All right, this is so cool. God gave you a smile tool. Here's how your smile tool works. You take your fingers, your peace tool, like this, you put them on both sides of the mouth, and you push up. Can you do it, Lucas? Come on, Lucas. Come on, Lucas, you can do it. You're already smiling. Okay, let's look at some of the adults. How are they doing over there, all right? All right. Isn't that so cool? God gave you a smile tool built in, all right? One of the best ways that you can be welcoming is simply smile. Simply smile. You know, rather than walking around like this, walk around like this. And there's something about a smile that's just contagious. In fact, people a lot smarter than me. Now, I want to share a little of this because, you know, I got to keep the adults interested as well. So I want to give you some research, adults. People a lot smarter than me have found some things about a smile. Did you know, first off, it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile? So everybody try on a frown. Feel your face. Feel the muscles. Now try a smile. Take less muscles to smile? Let's try it again. Frown. Wait. Let's watch the adults do this. Okay. Frown. Smile. Fewer muscles to smile than it does to frown. So it's easier to smile than it is to frown. Now, there's some other things they found, and I'm going to read this to you. Even a fleeting smile has the capacity to burrow down deep inside the subconscious of a person who sees it and set off positive changes from within. For example, a smile of just a mere 4/1000th of a second, what researchers refer to as a subliminal priming, is enough to produce a mini emotional high in others. It makes people see things around them in a more positive light. Just by smiling at somebody, you set off positive emotions in other people. So when you're walking around and you're smiling and somebody sees it, it makes their day brighter. Another researcher found out that when you're smiled at while eating, the food that you're eating tastes better. Now try this on, adults. Have you ever been to a restaurant and the food was okay, but the waiter was horrible and the food tasted rotten? Yeah, you had a bad waiter. And the food was bad, even though it really maybe wasn't bad, it tasted bad. But have you been to a restaurant where the food was okay, but you had a really friendly waiter? You had somebody that was smiling and courteous, and that food was just awesome, and you wanted to go back for it, and then you went back like a week or two later because the food was so good, and you ate it, and you're like, it wasn't that great. But you didn't have a smiling waiter. A smile can even make food taste better. Parents, that's a great object lesson, a great tool, a great reminder when you go to serve vegetables. Okay? It even can make food taste better. And what's interesting, a smile is contagious. You know, when you get smiled at, research has found you don't even sometimes remember the face of the person that smiled at you, but you instantly mirror that smile. So when you're smiled at, you start smiling, and you don't even realize the person that was looking at you or that you just saw that helped you put that smile on your face. There is something approachable about a person who is smiling. So let's have some fun. Okay, kids, here we're going to participate again. I need you to look at another table, somebody not at your table. Make eye contact with them. And I want you to frown at them. Frown at me. Frown at me. Gabe, have you ever seen this face? Does that feel too approachable? Now, how about this face, Gabe? What do you think? Feel better? All right, find another person you can make eye contact with. If you want to do your table, that's fine. If you want to do somebody else, that's fine. Find somebody you make contact with and see how long you can keep from smiling at them. So we're having a little mini game here, a little mini contest. See who can keep the frown on their face the longest. All right, come on, adults, you can do it too. I beat Eric. Just like that. All right. Oh, yeah. Wear a mask, Ray. That's not fair. There's something contagious about a smile. Now, how many of you think you can smile at somebody this week? Just today. How about this morning before you leave this place? You know what? I am teaching everybody how to love like Jesus. And isn't this an easy way to love like Jesus? I got a feeling, by and large, Jesus walked around like this. I don't think he walked around too often like this. He did a couple times when the Pharisees and the religious leaders were bad. But I think, by and large, people like Matthew and people like Zacchaeus, we talked about last week, I think Jesus walked around more like this, like Zacchaeus. Remember last week's story, if you watched online, I got a feeling when Jesus saw Zacchaeus up there, he was probably not just smiling but laughing. He's probably like, Zacchaeus, what are you doing? Zacchaeus, get down. We're going to go over and we're going to eat at your house today. That's approachable. That's welcoming. If we're going to love like Jesus, we need to be welcoming. And when we see somebody who's being left out, when we're seeing somebody kicked out of the party or not allowed in the club, we, as Christ followers, we need to be the ones who go over and welcome them in. Invite them into the party. Invite them in with just a smile. So that's my challenge this week for you. Lose snobbery, put on humility, and just smile. See how many people you can smile at this week. Now, next Sunday, we're coming back. Leave all your stuff right at the table, the kit, the little craft stuff and whatnot. That you can take the craft thingies you made home. You can take they take the animals home, Miss Debbie? Oh, I like heard Miss Debbie from above. It's like, where are you? Okay, so you get to take the animals home, but leave the box and the crayons and all that here, so it's here for you next week. And as you go out this week, next week we're going to come back in. We're going to do a bunch of fun stuff again next week. I'm going to try another science experiment and not mess things up too bad. Well, I'm not. Dr. Wizzo is. I think I might. You guys want him to come back?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have Dr. Wizzo come back. He has another experiment. If anybody can find hydrogen peroxide, 35%, I need some, but it's dangerous. All right, but can't find that. I want to do an explosion. I really want to do an explosion. A messy explosion. Pardon? Yeah, Dr. Wizzo does. Not me. Dr. Wizzo wants to do an explosion. We just have to keep him under control. All right. So next week we'll have you come back. But from now until next week, I want you to see how many people you can smile at. Now, where are times you can find people to smile at? Give us some ideas. Let's build some ideas. Lucy, who's somebody you can smile at during the week? Okay, your mom. Hey, that's a good place to start, right at home. All right, what's some other ideas? Where are some other places we can smile? Your friends. Papa Rich. You want to make your parents feel really awkward when they go through the drive-thru? Just smile out the window. Okay, at the checkout, cashier. What's some other places you can smile? You can, and see if they smile back. So watch, see if they smile back when you go like this. By the way, kids, I got parents here, but that's horrible. If you want to get out of some trouble, Lucas, you want to get out of some trouble? When you do something wrong, smile. It's a lot harder to discipline a kid when they're smiling. Mom sees through that, eh? It won't work. Don't try that. All right. Okay, so see who you can smile at this week and see if they return a smile back to you. I bet they will. When you smile at them, they'll probably smile back. So is that simple? Can we do that? Adults, can we do that?
Yep.
You know what, adults? We can be the most grumpy people in the world, but maybe I don't think Jesus was. And we need to smile too. It's a simple way to love like Jesus. Just smile at people. So let me pray for you, and then we're going to clean up. Please clean up your spot a little bit there. We'll come through and we'll sanitize a little bit later, but just police your area, and then we'll be gone. We'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the kids this morning. I thank you for the fun we're able to have in the sanctuary, in the worship center, that we can still learn from you. And Father, I pray we will be the most loving people. The church should be the most loving people in the world. So help us to do that. Help us to put that on and to live that. Father, I pray we'll bring some cheer into people's hearts this week. I pray these kids will bring some happiness into some other people's lives as we go through this week. In your name we pray. Amen.